morning. As I look out this morning, I recognize that there are many visitors. And we're so thankful that you took the time out this morning to come and be with us and worship the one true God. I want to let you know that I am not the regular preacher. The regular preacher is out, and he will be back next week. And if you're visiting with us, we invite you to come back and get to hear him, as he always does a good job. I want to begin this morning by reading some scriptures that help us reflect on the almighty nature of God, His magnificence, His glory, and His majesty. I want to start in Genesis 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Moving on to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then in verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Now turn with me in Psalms 96, 4 through 9. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O ye families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord's glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." And finally, I'll read in Revelation 22:1. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing down from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on the other side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the trees were for healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or sun, no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Hopefully, as I was reading through these scriptures, you could see God's power at work, and that he alone is deserving of this all glory and majesty. As we talked about in class this morning, man's infinite nature cannot even begin to touch God on his finite ways. Remember in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." If we cannot know God in this way, or measure up to him, or even touch him, what can and should man be doing here on this earth when it was God that gave us life? Today's lesson is going to focus on what does it mean to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. We understand, we know our purpose is to glorify His name. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God. We've heard it many times that our purpose is to glorify God. So how can we glorify God when in Romans 3:23 it reads, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? How can we stand before God and glorify Him when we know that we sin and we fall short of His glory? Before we move forward in the lesson, I would like to define the word glory. I'm not really sure that man's words can define glory when we're talking about the awesome God and God's glory. But I read a definition by Matt Slick that hopefully will steer us in the direction that I want to go this morning. It reads, the word glory is used of God and men to describe honor, praise, splendor, and wonder. But the phrase, the glory of God, is used only of God and designates God's greatness, as we can read in Psalms 19:1, His mystery, Proverbs 25:2, His splendor, Acts 7:55, Revelations 15:7, and Revelation 21:22, His standard of perfection, Romans 3:23, and goal in 1 Corinthians 10:31. In the Old Testament, the word for glory in Hebrew is kabod, and it carries the idea of heaviness or weight. In the New Testament, the Greek word for glory is doxa, having the idea of opinion, judgment, estimate, splendor, brightness, etc. Doxology is a derivative of this word, meaning the glory, meaning of praise to God. So we talked about this definition. And as we think about this definition and we put these words together, what does glorifying or glorify mean? Well, when we glorify, it is an honor in praising God because of this great glory that we have read about. As we read about His splendor and His wonderful majesty, I'm in awe and fear and respect, knowing that He also is a loving and merciful God, and He is able to forgive me of my sins. And as I try to understand all that God encompasses, it just makes me want to submit to Him and bow down to Him. So have there ever been a time where you just felt like you couldn't do anything right? There was a time maybe that you wanted to please. It might have been a teacher, maybe a parent, could have been a coach, somebody that you looked up to, and whatever you did, you just could not do it right. You couldn't please that person. Well, I just want us to remind us that in our relationship with God, it's completely the opposite. You see, if you're a follower of Christ, there is so much peace and acceptance when we serve Him. Even as I sin, but I repent and continue to serve Him and please Him, He has made heaven attainable to me, for me. And it's only because of His great love and His mercy and His grace that He has for me and He has for you, each one in here. What confidence that gives us as we walk humbly in our spiritual journey while we're here on this earth. Let me talk about two foundational elements to glorifying God. Our reaction to the blessing that He gives us and that we fully trust in Him. The first thing, I want us to realize that along with receiving a blessing, man has a responsibility to recognize the blessing and honor and give thanks to God for those blessings. Let's not be fooled in thinking that when we get a blessing, it's because we are so good. Understand that it is God shining a light on us and giving us a blessing, but it is our responsibility to give Him thanks and to glorify Him with those blessings. I'll give you an example. I bought a house. And when I bought that house, I was very thankful for it. And I felt like it was a blessing from God. But with that blessing comes a huge responsibility. Because with that blessing, am I going to be appreciative and thankful to God? And I'm going to use that blessing to glorify Him. Am I going to use that house as a vessel to welcome people into my house? Am I going to use that house as a place where people can come and study and learn more about God's Word? You see, with each blessing, we need to think of ways to turn it back and giving Him honor and to glorify Him. I think of the story of Elkanah and Hannah in the 1 Samuel, the first chapter. After many years of prayer, Hannah wanted a child. And Hannah was blessed with a child, and she named that child Samuel. Hannah recognized that it was God that blessed her. In a show of thanksgiving and appreciation for that child, and she also recognized that she had an opportunity to honor and glorify Him, and with that child, she dedicated it back to the Lord. The second point is we must trust God in all we do. And when we fully trust God, we glorify His name. Think about it. How much do you trust God in your life? How much do you fully trust God? Think about some situations where you know you just trusted God in your decision making. How many times did you make a decision where you depended on your own thoughts or on man's thoughts and didn't fully trust God? We must trust God and be dependent in all we do. And when we do this, our faith will grow. And when it grows, we'll have greater knowledge of our God and get to be closer to Him. Even when we're not sure of the reason or the purpose of something, we'll just do because of our faith. This morning, I want to consider three areas where we can glorify God. Individually, in worship, and with our local church. So, how can I glorify God individually? We must remember to keep our behavior godly, and we must recognize when we do this, we may suffer. 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. I've just finished reading a book about the first 1,000 years of Christianity. And in that book, it was amazing the persecution the early Christians had to go through. They were covered with skins of animals and then thrown to the dogs, and the dogs tore them up until death. Nursing mothers were put to death because they refused to deny Christ. Christians were used as torches, lit to fire, and burned up the night sky and illuminated the sky at night. Early Christians were devoured by lions. And the list goes on and on and on. What an example they are to show, and what amazing trust they had in God. They fully trusted in Him, and what great faith they had. We can reflect on many of these examples in the scriptures, but let's read in Hebrews 10:32-39. And this speaks to the fact that living a godly life will promise you that you will suffer. You will have persecutions of one kind or another. But the reward is that it will make you stronger and you will grow closer to Him. Hebrews 10:32-39. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. You know, I may never be challenged with these type of difficulties. I may never be persecuted like we talked about the early Christians. But the question is, if I am faced with them, where is my faith? What type of faith do I have? Will I stand for God? I am assured that if I stand with Him, I will glorify Him. And God will be with me. There are areas in our in the world today where people are being persecuted because they put on the name of Christ. In this country, we are not touched with this type of persecution. And I hope we never will be. But if we are, where will you stand? Where is your faith? What kind of faith do you have? With that said, there are ways that we can be persecuted in this country. We have laws in our country that are inconsistent with God's word, and will we compromise God's word to evoke the laws of the land when it's convenient for us? You may be challenged with a work relationship. An employer may be asking you to do some unethical practice. Your friends, peers are belittling you or mocking you because they know of your faith. How are you going to stand? We need to purpose in our hearts now as to what we're going to do and about our stand. We're in a society that doesn't think it's fair to judge someone, and we are told we should be tolerant of all things and all people. But do you know that in your daily walk, when we strive to glorify God, people will feel judged? For example, do you know that when you're wearing modest apparel and not conforming to the world, you stand out differently? Most likely, your friends may notice this, and they may exclude you of not being like them. When you're with a group of peers and something sinful begins, there's alcohol being brought out and you want to take a stand and you even have to leave. I can almost guarantee you that there will be somebody that will notice that you left. You have not said a word and judged them verbally, but you have judged their actions by choosing not to participate. And they will not approve of it, and they may not like it, because they will feel judged. Yet this is an opportunity to glorify God. And this is an opportunity to let them know why you took the action that you took. And the question is, do you have the courage to do that? When you're sharing the gospel with others, there are going to be some that do not like it. And they will distract you and make it be personal, or they may think it's tell you their think-sos. Don't let this distract you. Always stand on God's side. Remember, the battle belongs to Him, and He will be victorious. Remember, it's not about you. Remembering this, if you fully get this concept that it's not about you, you will stand strong and glorify God in all you do. Think about it. When we are being persecuted, we are saying it's not about me. And I want what God wants. John 15:18-9. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hate you. Ask yourselves, am I living a godly life that is set apart from the world? Even if it may draw persecution, is my faith strong enough to withstand? If you're unsure of this answer as I ask that question, I ask you to grow in your faith, to get there. And you can do this as the strong Christians do. You can improve on your prayer life. Make prayer part of every day of your life. Study. Get into God's Word. Meditate on the Scriptures. Another way we can glorify God individually is to speak and serve as one who accepts and receives God's words. This again emphasizes that it's not about you. It's giving of yourselves to others. It's the exact opposite of what pride would be in your life. I recently read something that describes pride well. It reads like this. My name is Pride. I am a cheater. I cheat you of God-given destiny because you demand your own way. I cheat you of contentment because you deserve better than this. I cheat you of knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat you of healing because you're too full of me to forgive. I cheat you of holiness because you refuse to admit when you're wrong. I cheat you of vision because you'd rather look in the mirror than out a window. I cheat you of genuine friendship because nobody knows going to know the real you. I cheat you of love because true love demands sacrifice. I cheat you of greatness because you refuse to wash another's feet. I cheat you of God's glory because I convince you to seek your own. My name is Pride. I am a cheater. You like me because you think I'm always looking out for you. Untrue. I'm looking to make a fool of you. God has so much for you, I admit, but don't worry. If you stick with me, you'll never know about it. Instead of living this prideful life, we should live as we read in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. 1 Peter 4:11 reads, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. A third and final way we can glorify God as individuals is we need to bear fruit. John 15:1-8. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For you without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Be this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. In this allegory of John 15, Jesus is the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and individual disciples are the branches. This picture confirms how it is necessary to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in your daily walk. As the vine dresser, God observes his branches closely and takes whatever action necessary to make his vineyard healthy and productive. To the branches that don't bear fruit, he will prune them and cut them off. To the branches that are indifferent and asleep, they will be cast into the fire. Revelation 3:15. To the branches that are in Christ, the Father also will prune them in order that the fruit that they bear may become more rich and full. Pruning is not always comfortable. It often takes us to a place that may feel unnatural for us, or in a way that we may not fully understand. Another word for this is chastening. As 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 reminds us about reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. The counterpart to this requires yielding of the branch or the individual believer. Are you glorifying God individually by living a godly life and set apart from the world? Are you speaking and working for him? Are you bearing fruit? Are you doing good deeds? Are you teaching others about the great story of Jesus Christ? We have an opportunity to glorify God not only in our individual life, but also in our worship. So, how do I glorify God in my worship? Well, we read in Psalms 26, and also that is repeated in 1 Chronicles 16:25 through 29. These were such beautiful words that showed us how to honor the great and glorious God. I'm not surprised that these words were repeated. It's so important to ask ourselves, have we approached God today in our worship, showing him this honor? I started this lesson by reading some scripture that reminded us of this awesome God, our awesome God that we serve. If I know that everything I do should be honoring, glorifying God, that means I need to apply this to whatever I do, whether it's you play music or what music you listen to, sports, you go into a movie, choosing the right movie, all different kind of things, the friends you pick. Am I going to glorify God in all of this? We realize that there are human elements we have to deal with every day. But when we gather here on the first day of the week, it is solely focused on God, that wonderful God that we've been talking about, and giving him the worship he longs for. You can begin by preparing your thoughts before you even arrive to the building on each Sunday morning. And make a point to remind yourselves what this day has been set aside for. Don't be fooled in thinking that you have lived your life 6 days a week and you have done good, and that is enough to worship and honor God. Don't minimize what we're doing here this morning. Because when we come together as God commanded every first day of the week, gathering together with the saints locally and partaken of the Lord's Supper with the saints universally. This begins our week, each and every week, in a mindful state of honor and worship to our Creator, so that we will be strengthened to live every day in between in a way that glorifies Him. Do you glorify God in your worship? Third and finally, how do I glorify God in His church? I do not have time to talk about all the difference between the local and the universal church. But I do want to address about our attitudes with the local church here at Roswell, and if you're glorifying God in your relationship with it. The universal church is the church established with His blood. The local church is designed by God, but made up of men. Christians autonomous to each other in the realm of decision-making and matters of judgment, but all united in following the pattern from God given in the Scripture. God did not fail in any way in establishing His universal church. Sometimes men fail in the local church because they are men. A danger to watch for is when men try to reach outside of the Scriptures and try something new or different. As a result, understand that a building that's bearing the name Church of Christ on the outside may not be the same attitude towards Scriptures as others you know of on the inside. You know, I'm a member of this Facebook group, and it's supposed to be a discussion group for members of the church. And it's amazing to see the attitude as I go through there. There was one the other day where somebody was talking about he had a friend that he knew was participating in fornication, and he had asked the question, how do I handle this? And the way that people responded was, you can't judge. That is so hateful. That's what's wrong with the church today. And it's just, and to me, all I could see was just kind of cynical towards the church. And it seems like more and more people are starting to have that type of attitude or rebellion towards the church. Today's article in the Family Report, I recommend you to read. I think it is good on this discussion as well. Oftentimes it bears true that somebody may respond to the church in a negative way because maybe they've been chastised or reproved in some way. But don't participate in this. Stay away from that idleist chatter. No one person should make an irresponsible statement about the church. If we cannot be unified, how will we ever be a light to the world around us? John 17:20-23. I do not pray for these alone, speaking of the apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. The church of our Lord is beautiful. It is a sanctuary and a refuge from the world that bombards us every day. It is filled with loving brethren who guard the truth and stand for it, and encourage each other to grow. The complete and perfect word is given us for our peace and our comfort. We should never challenge God's authority, but we should glorify our God in our relationship with the church. So the question, are you glorifying God in your relationship with the church? And are you glorifying God with your behavior here at Roswell? Question, what are you doing for the work here at Roswell? Do you have talents that you're hiding? Maybe you have some talents that you know you need to improve on, and you're working on that, and you're trying to prove. Maybe you have talents and you're using them. Think about this and be honest with yourself. Take inventory. What are you doing for the work here at Roswell? Are you glorifying God in those talents? You may be saying, as I ask that question, you may feel like, well, you know, I'm really disengaged with the work here. Come here to glorify God. I know there may be obstacles. You may be in a situation that makes it difficult to be here every day or every Lord's Day, every time we meet together. There may be challenges you are dealing with. But remember, your sole purpose is to glorify God. And are you doing that with the work here at Roswell? And remember, when you come here on a regular basis, it's not just an encouragement for you, but it encourages everyone in here. What if you were the only one that showed up to an event? Would that be discouraging? Don't be part of that equation. And certainly, worship is not an event. It is a way of us to glorify our Creator. Come to worship because this is where you want to be. And additionally, there are other ways to get engaged with this group. We're doing some things outside of what we do here in this building. And I know that there may be busy schedules, but, you know, find one of those things and start being participating in that. And I think that will help you get engaged. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Everyone will stand before the Lord someday. Every knee will bow before Him and will give an answer for all that you have done for Him and against Him. Do you have the confidence to look forward to that day? We all can have the confidence if we glorify the Lord in our daily walk. 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling, may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great blessing and comfort to know that God is with those who glorify Him. Do you have a life where you can say in Romans 11:36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Do you need to respond to the invitation in any way? You recognize that Jesus, and you know the story of Jesus, and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, and you realize that He hung on the cross and His blood for your sins, and you want access to that blood, and you know to get access to that blood, you need to be baptized, and you wish so to do so today. Or you may be living in a life that you know that you're not been glorifying God, and you want to take that step, and you need to do so publicly. Whatever the response that you need to make publicly, do so now as we stand and as we sing.